This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Good morning and welcome to Career Talk, a monthly conversation with interesting people who have a direct connection to UC San Diego Extension's courses and certificate programs. I'm John Freeman, Communications Director at Extension, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Jacques Shirazi, an Extension instructor who teaches clean energy and clean tech, along with two other instructors. In fact, their course begins tonight. He's also program manager for the City of San Diego's Clean Tech Program, an influential role he's had for more than 7 years. Our theme today will be the promise of clean tech, what's our energy future? So thank you for joining me, Jacques.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I look forward to what I'm sure will be a very stimulating conversation, but first let me tell you a few things more about Jacques. With Clean Tech, he's in charge of supporting and developing the clean tech industry in San Diego, and in that role he works closely with a wide range of private, public, and nonprofit groups. He's a graduate of San Diego State, and he also earned a master's from UC San Diego's Graduate School of International Relations and Pacific Studies. He's an expert on the emerging science of what's called biomimicry, which we'll ask him to define. And when he's not taking the bus or the trolley to get around town, he proudly drives what he describes as an old run-down Honda, which we'll get to as well. So let's get started. Jacques, what exactly is this biomimicry? What's it mean?
Sure, I'll be happy to explain. So biomimicry, if you just look at the word, bio means life, mimicry means mimicking life. And the whole idea is looking at nature, if you will, life, and learning from nature's genius in solving some of the biggest challenges we have in the world. Some of the things that I've done using biomimicry has to do with design challenge, try to look at solutions to a particular issue, let's say friction, and see if there's any organism out there that could potentially teach us ways that are much more energy efficient, but also elegant to apply to a human problem.
So I'm thinking now of the Leaf, the actual car named the Leaf, but I'm also thinking of a leaf, an actual leaf, and the intricate designs within the leaf. Is that biomimicry in a sense?
So biomimicry, in a sense, it's not just copying nature. It's really understanding the function, the biological functions, and understanding the mechanism at play in order to solve a challenge. So for instance, in San Diego, we have a very famous tree called the Torrey Pines tree, which we have along the coastline. This tree obviously lives in an area that is very very poor in water. There's not a whole lot of rain. If you've ever seen a Torrey Pines tree, it has very long needles. And the purpose of that is to able to have a greater surface area to capture the moisture in the air. So we have a lot of fog along the coast. So one strategy the tree has, besides just getting water from the soil, it's also getting it from the air by having this mechanism of very long needles that increase the surface area and allow it to create more another source of water. So we're really looking at the mechanisms that allows to solve a particular challenge and apply it to a human problem.
Mm-hmm. Now this sounds like you have obviously a professional interest and passion for it. But I think there's some a personal real interest in it as well. I mean, is this something that you've pursued on a personal level, I would think.
Yes. Actually, when you mentioned kind of my credential, I've received a master type of certification from the Biomimicry Institute about a year and a half. I'm a certified professional in biomimicry, which really means that I could also teach but also do consulting. And I've created a nonprofit here in San Diego called Biomimicry San Diego, and also one similar organization in Switzerland. And what we do really locally here is to engage the community around these issues and really teach them biomimicry so that they could go out and practice biomimicry on their own, so that it becomes more of a toolkit that they could use when they're faced with an innovation challenge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Switzerland, and there is, I should point out, a slight, French intonation. Tell me, if you would, a brief bio about you?
Well, I was born and raised in Switzerland. I was born in Geneva, Switzerland, and I've actually lived almost until I was 19 years old and moved to the United States to learn English, actually. So I've learned previously German in Switzerland and some Italians. But I wanted to really learn English, and I end up coming here for about less than a year, and then really fall in love with this place. I mean, California is an incredible place, and I had an opportunity to go to school, so that really kind of what brought me here to stay. But all my family actually is in Switzerland. I have relatives in the United States, but I do go back at least once a year, and I have a strong tie there.
Mm-hmm. What you do for a living and what you believe in as a citizen of the world seems to be, I'm just guessing, but it seems to be that San Diego and California, but San Diego in particular, are really the centers of biomimicry, of environmental awareness. Is that ring true?
San Diego is definitely, I would say California is a very forward-looking state in terms of regulations and policies. There's a lot of innovative companies, as we are very entrepreneur. San Diego is a place that I fall in love, and I love to be a resident. Really, through my job, it's really also because we've been now on the forefront of bringing clean technology to the communities through various programs. We're making changes on how people live and realize the value of, for instance, water or the impact that we have on transportations by switching to less pollutant type of vehicles. So it is a link. San Diego has a unique position in terms of biomimicry with the San Diego Zoo. They're a magnet for knowledge. But biomimicry is an emergent principle, right? It's happening as we speak. There's a number of these networks that have been created all over the place, and people are finally kind of going back to this idea of learning from nature, because if we want to be truly sustainable in the long run, one of the best way to look at it is to look at how nature does it.
What do you like about teaching at UCSD in particular? I mean, obviously it's a science and technology mecca. Is this the place where you should be teaching? I mean, it seems like the place to teach clean tech.
Yes, I've actually, over the years, had the opportunity to teach quite a few classes. I'm excited. I think UCSD is an incredible school. The UCSD Extension offers a way to reach out not only to students but professionals, and I really kind of like the idea of helping them transform their skill set so that they could become more capable of making this transformation within their realms of influence. So a lot of times these professionals are working for companies, and I think that's sort of what excites me about this opportunity. And UCSD, obviously, is a very science-driven, so there's a lot of innovation. I work closely with UCSD on a number of projects. I'm excited when I hear that there are incredible ideas that could lead to potential commercialized solutions that could save life and improve life of many people.
So what does a student who enrolls in your course, what do you expect them to know when they come in, and what do you expect them to know when they leave?
That's a good question. I think when they come in, I often say to them that I have as much to learn from them they have to learn from me. It's a balance. I do not have all the answers. I have a passion that I like to share. I continuously try to learn, but there are things that they could potentially point out that I'm not aware that will inspire me to do more research. So I'm expecting them to come with an open mind, willing to share their own personal story and relations they have with sustainability at large. And what they will come out of it is really more knowledge and potentially tools on how they could apply that knowledge within their work environment, and that's really the key idea is to really give them tools so they could use in the long run.
Now, in the couple of years that you've been teaching this course, has the interest level, the caliber even of the students, has that been raised somewhat as we become more environmentally aware?
I think so. I think we've. I think people always. If you ask people, do they want to have a better better quality of life, a healthier quality of life. Everybody wants that. I think now, probably for the last 14 years, everybody is thinking of sustainability, regardless of where you are. You want to be sustainable not only for the good reasons, but also because there is an economic benefit out of it. Mm-hmm. You could actually save money, be much more adequate in how you operate. But it's also the altruistic element that we got to think about future generations. That goes beyond just the next generation, but further down the line. I think we realize that there is a finite amount of resources on this planet, and we have to be better steward of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I must confess that I drove here, and I saw that you drove here as well. Are we not good stewards of our planet by driving? How do you balance that?
That's true. I mean, it is unfortunately the transportation system that we have in San Diego is limited when it comes to public transportation. I mean, hopefully we're seeing that in a couple of years we'll have the trolley system being extended to UTC and all the way potentially to UCSD. Yeah. So that could provide opportunities for people to switch over. I agree. I think we're still very much relying on the combustion engine vehicles. There are solutions that we're offering. One of them that I've been proposed, that I've been managing for some time at the city, is the car share model. Car sharing is a whole new model. I think if you look at younger generation nowadays, they don't really want to own assets like a car. They realize that actually I could just share a vehicle because you could actually get maximize the use of the vehicle by instead of owning the asset and taking care of all the other expenses around it. So I think there's a transition time. I think over time people will make better decisions. But yes, right now there are things that we have to make compromise over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a fellow that I've grown to admire, Elon Musk.
Yes.
What category do you put him in? Is he the answer to the future? Is he a genius who is maybe over ambitious? How do you feel about Elon Musk?
I think
and Tesla.
Yeah, of course. I'm an admirer. I think to me at the beginning he's an entrepreneur. I mean, an entrepreneur takes risk. If you don't take very you could take calculated risk, but sometimes you have to make really big bets to really see if it's going to work. People were saying when he came out with the Tesla that, well, that's not going to be feasible. I can tell you a story right now that Tesla's produced, 10,000 or 15,000 vehicles last year. The market value of Tesla is almost a quarter of what GM is today, and GM produced millions of cars. So he's got a long way to make mass-produced vehicles for all. But the interesting part of it is the market believes that he's got something that is so unique. So he's a truly entrepreneur with really unique positions. And I admire him for taking risks. And there are others out there. I think a lot of the entrepreneurs that are really doing things amazing and taking risk to really bring a change in the way we live should be all be regarded as people that we should follow, at least be inspired.
Mm-hmm. It's an odd kind of contradiction, though, isn't it? Because a $75,000 car is fairly ostentatious unto itself, but you balance that by buying a car that doesn't use any fossil fuels.
Right.
So that seems to be a wave of the future by, let's say, those who can afford it and those who feel that this is important for the planet.
Right. The Tesla is a beautiful car, but you have to also realize nowadays you have 60 models of plug-in hybrids. These are either fully operated battery power or plug-in hybrid like the Volt. And the price points are coming down. I mean, you could buy a Leaf for less than $20,000. Mm-hmm. You could lease one for $200 a month. So I think we're finally getting over that hump. The one thing, though, to realize about electric vehicles, there is a challenge that I would say that I put out there for all entrepreneurs is the battery. The batteries are great, but the lithium ion, and they require rare metals, right? We have to make them out of very rare metals, and there is a whole debate of where that source should come from. Then the UCSD is a perfect place where scientists right now are working on battery technology that could potentially use, instead of using scarcity of materials, they could use abundance of materials. So why don't we design batteries that we can make of things that are plentiful on the planet, right? Like carbon. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. I mean, we're making good progressions, but also I think we also have to realize that we have much more to improve to really have a true impact on the life of this planet.
Mm-hmm. What is it about San Diego? We touched on this earlier, but what is it about San Diego that seems to be increasingly a center for innovation in all regards, but it's in your field especially so?
Right. I think San Diego has always been an interesting place for innovation. I think it's really the history of San Diego. I mean, it was mostly dominated and still is by the military infrastructure and the defense industry, which remains a very large area. But I think since the 80s, we've seen a revamp of that, and mostly thanks to places like UCSD, SDSU, some of the magnet that we have in terms of scientists, and this push for taking science out of the lab into the market. Mm-hmm. And that's really what makes us unique, is that in the biotech, for instance, cities envy us for having so many successful companies and incredible advances in biotech, and it's and really saving life. I mean, there was discussion about Ebola. I mean, there is a drug that has been developed here locally that's developed by a local company. Yeah. Yes. And I think in cleantech, it's kind of this convergence of knowledge where people who are working in biotech or in IT could take that knowledge and apply it to sustainability. And that's sort of why we have this unique position in San Diego. And a lot of it is in things like biofuel. We have a lot of research going on there, but also in EV technology, battery technology, renewable energy, and so on. So we just, because of that existing knowledge and skill force, we have very good engineers in this town, then we really are well positioned to be an R&D and a source of innovation for this space.
Now, you've just listed a number of successes and potential successes. Let's talk about what are the frustrations. When you go to work every day, what do you say to yourself? Oh, my gosh, I've got to convince someone or something, somebody, some governmental body that this is the right thing to do. What frustrations do you have?
I think it's a good question. I think any good ideas will eventually hit some roadblocks. That's just part of the challenge, especially if you come up with innovative ideas. You always get some resistance because it's new. Because, well, most people do not like change. But if you explain to them what this will lead to in terms of potential economic output, there usually is some sort of a pain, if you will, a period of a time where things are difficult. But once you get over that hump, I think you really see the benefit. And a lot of time is having a closer grassroots model where you really are asking the community to also get involved so they could really get to see what the benefits you're trying to do. But it's always challenging. And I think challenges are good. It's what makes us work harder.
Mm-hmm. So here's a vexing question for anybody in innovation. What's the next big idea? What's the idea that you'd like to spring on the world that you have and no one else has?
I've got a lot of ideas.
Tell me a few.
I think one of them, I think we're from a past conversation, I think one of them I see we're growing, having more renewable energy in this community. We have a lot of solar rooftop. UCSD and other campuses are doing amazing work. Renewable energy is great, but because of the nature of the power, what's missing right now is to be able to store the energy. And I think one area is if we can come up with a storage system that is cost-effective, that everybody could use, we could really start really taking advantage of when it's the middle of the day to store the energy that we're getting from the renewable energy and then use it at the later time of the day, especially around 4 o'clock, where you tend to have a peak of demand. Some of the other ideas that I'm really looking at is mostly on the biomimicry standpoint in terms of creating materials that are low cost, that are low energy inputs, and that could really be easily recyclable. So that almost like functioning like nature does. So the whole material science, I'm really intrigued that we should be doing better, and especially around chemistry, that we should have a safer chemistry so that we don't really pollute when we dispose the products.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the toughest question of all. What's your next car?
My next car is actually a good point. I'm actually in the market for a car. I'm actually debating whether I should buy an all-electric car or whether I should buy some sort of a hybrid, but I'm going to probably go for either or. I've looked at the Leaf. I'm interested in the Volt. So I don't really have made a decision, but I'm definitely going to look at a plug-in hybrid.
So you take full pride, more so than what you're driving now, in driving a brand new all-electric, say, or all-plug-in car.
Yes.
And that would fit exactly what you're doing. So wrapping up here, I'd like to thank my guest, Jacques Shirazi.
Thank you
very much, sir. I enjoyed it. It's been a fascinating look into the world of clean tech in San Diego. So for UC San Diego Extension's Career Talk, this is John Freeman. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.